Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ana Mateo. This program is for English learners, so we speak a bit slower. And our stories are written especially for people learning English. Here are the stories we have for you on today's program. For the Education Report, Dan Friedel brings us a story about universities in the United States dealing with fake vaccination cards. Then Jonathan Evans brings us a story from Singapore and efforts there to turn wastewater into drinking water. We will take a break from the news when I bring you this week's words and their stories. The story I wrote for you this week is all about your nose. Then Gregory Stockel talks about immigrants in the U.S. And John Russell will take us to a village in Indonesia. But first, the Education Report.
When a person in the United States gets the COVID-19 vaccine, the person receives a small piece of paper called a COVID-19 vaccination record card. It is a piece of paper with the logo of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, or CDC, and the name and date of the vaccine. Because it is so simple, it could be easy to fake. Many people in the U.S. are still unsure about getting the vaccine. As universities, workplaces, and other places are requiring proof of vaccination, some people are now buying fake vaccination cards without getting a shot. The Associated Press reports that students and teachers at universities around the U.S. are worried about fake cards. Sellers are using social media apps like Instagram and Telegram to advertise fake vaccine cards. The prices range from $25 to $200. The AP notes that many college students seem interested in buying the cards. On the site Reddit, one person wrote, "I need one too for college. I refuse to be a guinea pig." A person on Twitter said his daughter bought a different kind of fake document from someone in China for $50. He asked if people were doing the same thing for vaccination cards. The Chronicle of Higher Education is a publication that follows college and university news. It reports that more than 700 universities and colleges require proof of vaccination. Most schools simply ask their students to take a photo of their card and send it to a school website. Vanderbilt University in Nashville, Tennessee, is not permitting students to register until they show a record of being vaccinated. At the University of Michigan, a spokesman said the school does not believe students have sent in fake cards. Benjamin Mason Meyer is a professor at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, UNC. He studies international health policy. He said, unlike some countries, the U.S. is not using a digital system to record vaccine status. He said the U.S. is depending on a flimsy paper card. And students have told him they knew of others who had used fake vaccination cards. In a statement to the AP, UNC said it has not found evidence that students are sending in fake vaccine record cards. Rebecca Williams also works at UNC. She is a researcher at the school's Center for Health Promotion and Disease Prevention. She said she is not surprised that people are worried about fake vaccine cards. This is why I think the development of a reliable national digital vaccine passport app is very important, she said. Michael Uhlenkamp is a spokesman for the Chancellor's Office for the California State University System, which has almost 500,000 students. With anything that requires certification, he said, there is the possibility for an individual to falsify documentation. There is a law that should prevent people from making false vaccine cards. If someone uses the CDC logo without permission, they can be fined and punished by up to 5 years in prison. The U.S. Department of Justice recently charged a person in California with making fake vaccination cards. The top law officer in 47 states also asked the leaders of Twitter, Shopify, and eBay to remove ads for fake cards, which they did. Sellers, however, quickly returned with different search words, and fake cards are still easy to find online. Dr. Sarah Van Orman is the chief health officer at the University of Southern California and an advisor with the American College Health Association on COVID-19. She said, even if students can get into universities with fake vaccination cards, the number will not be high enough to affect the school's herd immunity. College students who already have the vaccine are criticizing those who would rather spend money to buy a fake than get a free shot. Malia Reza is an electrical engineering student at Pennsylvania State University. She called those students dumb. I'm angry about that, she said. Like, there is more anger than I could describe right now. I'm Dan Friedel.
Jonathan Evans has our next story.
The government of Singapore has created a highly developed system that turns wastewater into drinking water. The system involves a network of tunnels and high-technology treatment centers. Reused wastewater can now meet 40% of Singapore's water demand. The country's water agency says it expects to meet 55% of Singapore's water demand by the year 2060. Most of the water is used for microchip manufacturing centers and cooling systems in buildings. But some of it is added to the country's drinking water supplies. The system helps reduce ocean pollution, as only a small amount of the treated water is sent into the sea. The United Nations estimates that 80% of the world's wastewater flows back into the oceans without being treated or reused. Singapore has few natural water sources. The island nation has long had to depend mostly on supplies from neighboring Malaysia. Lo Pei Chen is chief engineer of the Water Reclamation Department of the Public Utilities Board. She told reporters with Agence France-Presse, Singapore lacks natural resources and it is limited in space, which is why we are always looking for ways to explore water sources and stretch our water supply. One major plan is to collect every drop and reuse endlessly, she added. The Changi Water Reclamation Plant on Singapore's eastern coast is the main part of the country's recycling system. Parts of the water treatment center are underground. Wastewater enters the center through a 48-kilometer tunnel that is linked to sewers. The center contains a large system of steel pipes, tubes, tanks, cleaning systems, and other machinery. It can treat up to 900 million liters of wastewater a day. In one building, a network of airflow systems has been put in place to keep the air smelling as fresh as possible. Waste that arrives at the plant goes through a cleaning process before powerful pumps send it flowing to areas above ground for more treatment. There, the treated water receives additional cleaning. Bacteria and viruses are removed through highly developed cleaning processes and disinfected with ultraviolet radiation. Singapore is also in the process of expanding its recycling system. The country will add another underground tunnel and a major water treatment center to serve the western half of the island. Officials expect work on the center to be completed by 2025. By the time the expansion is finished, Singapore will have spent about $7.4 billion on its water treatment systems. I'm Jonathan Evans.
Now, words and their stories from VOA Learning English. Our bodies give us so many expressions. And today we talk about the facial feature that sticks out the most, your nose. Well, unless you are wearing a mask, which covers the mouth and nose. But most of the time, our noses are noticeable. You can see them clearly. And that fact gives us this expression, as plain as the nose on your face. This describes something that is very clear, easy to see or understand. It is obvious. Here is one way to use it. My friend Marina liked my other friend, Christopher, a lot. She never told me, but I could tell. Every time he entered the room, she acted differently. She talked faster and fixed her hair a lot, and she laughed at every joke he made, even the ones that were not funny. So to me, she obviously liked him. When I asked her about it, she said, "How did you know?" "Marina," I said, "it's as plain as the nose on your face," which means he probably knows too. Her face turned deep red from embarrassment. Imagine we all have to wear masks all the time for years and years. If that happens, this expression might change. But for now, we still use it. Here is our next expression. It's an easy one. On the nose. This expression has two very common meanings. If something is on the nose, it is exactly right. It is accurate. For example, his guess about the new company succeeding was right on the nose. After only a year, it is making a lot of money. On the nose also means something happens at the exact set time. For example, Marjorie's workday starts at 10 a.m., and she arrives to the office every day at 10 a.m. on the nose. But being on the nose and on time doesn't mean you have to do it every day. It just means you agreed to be somewhere at a certain time, and you are there. Some word experts say this usage of on the nose comes from radio. When recording a radio show, the voice performers are in a recording room. They are separated from the producers and sound experts by glass. Oftentimes, the recording could not be interrupted. So, if a show was running on time, the producer would put a finger on his or her nose to let the performers know. Here is our last expression. One thing noses do is smell things. The nose can help us find food. Sometimes it can help us detect danger, like smelling smoke. This is a valuable ability. So if you have a special ability for something, we can say you have a nose for it. For example, a good detective has a nose for solving crimes. They can sniff out hidden clues. To sniff is to breathe in quickly, like this. If you have a nose for news, you are good at finding news stories. It's like you can sniff out an interesting story. Many of our listeners definitely have a nose for learning English. And that's all the time we have for this Words and Their Stories. Until next time, I'm Ana Mateo. Now, let's hear from Gregory Stockel.
More than 6 months into the Biden administration, the future of a more than 30 years old humanitarian program is being questioned. The lives of hundreds of thousands of immigrants depend on this program. Temporary Protected Status, or TPS, is given to nationals of some countries that are experiencing armed conflict or natural disasters. It was established by Congress in 1990. It permits recipients to live and work in the United States for a limited period. The administration of former President Donald Trump sought to end temporary protection for nationals of some of these countries. This led to court challenges, and the future of the program was unknown. The Biden administration extended TPS through executive authority or decision by the president and removed the immediate threat of deportations. Julia Gillette is a senior policy researcher at the Migration Policy Institute. She explained that a court challenge brought by the American Civil Liberties Union ended in required mediation. No one knows what the mediation will establish. We don't know what exactly is being negotiated. What would a settlement look like? Gillette told VOA. Would it restore TPS for all of these countries or for some of these countries? While the Trump administration highlighted the temporary part of TPS, immigrant supporters are pressing the Biden administration to protect the people in the program. They also want the program expanded. Oscar Chacon is the head of the support group Alianza Americas. He told VOA by message that there is an active campaign to persuade the Biden administration to give new TPS placement for people from Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, and Nicaragua. This would include people who are already living in the U.S. He said the decision would continue protecting individuals in the program and extend protection to others. He said that while most TPS recipients' immigration is safe for now, the disorder has affected the ability of some to renew work permits and receive other documents, like a driver's permit.
Currently, 12 countries have TPS placements: El Salvador, Haiti, Honduras, Myanmar, Nepal, Nicaragua, Somalia, South Sudan, Sudan, Syria, Venezuela, and Yemen. The situations that bring immigrants from these countries to the United States are as different as the countries they left. Yanira Arias fled sexual violence and other problems in El Salvador. She arrived in New York in 2000 at age 27. It was not just a struggle to meet my needs, but also making sure that I arrived safe and alive at home every day. So all that together was a lot of stress. And I made the decision to leave the country, she told VOA. A year later, El Salvador had a large earthquake that left millions of people homeless. The U.S. government put the country in the TPS program. Arias signed up for the program and was given protection. Now, she works for nonprofit groups that support Latina women and immigrant communities. TPS is typically renewed once every 18 months for nationals of El Salvador and other countries. Though Arias is thankful for the program, she says long-term planning is impossible. She said, "I cannot invest in something permanent." And she is afraid of going back to a country where she was almost killed.
October will be an important month for TPS holders. Court-ordered extensions of protections will end. Immigration supporters hope the Biden administration will establish new rules that protect immigrants in the TPS. Chacon, Arias and others are urging U.S. lawmakers to amend TPS and permit immigrants in the program to build long-term lives in the United States. We are trying to explain to members of Congress that regardless of having our extensions, and yes, we are not being served with an order of deportation, it is very hard to live this way, Arias said. Senate Democrats are pushing to provide legal placement to possibly millions of undocumented immigrants. They are attempting to include the measure in budget legislation that will come up in the Congress soon. Immigrant supporters say TPS reforms should be added to the document. It is unknown if immigration-related measures in the budget proposal can survive the legislative process. It is also unknown if the $3.5 trillion budget bill can pass with only Democratic support. I'm Gregory Stockel.
And I'm Dan Friedel.
John Russell brings us our last story for today. This one comes from Indonesia.
A robot designed for fun by Indonesian villagers and scientists has found a new use during the coronavirus health crisis. It brings food, and hopefully a smile, to people who have COVID-19. Unlike the complex robots used in Japan and other countries, this Indonesian robot is made of household objects, like pots and pans and an old television. It is now called the Delta Robot, after the variant of the coronavirus that has spread through Indonesia and the world. Asayanto is a neighborhood leader who heads the Delta Robot Project. With this new Delta variant and the surging number of COVID-19 cases, I decided to turn the robot into one used for public services, such as to spray disinfectant, deliver food, and meet the needs of residents who are self-isolating, he said. Disinfectant is a substance that is used to kill harmful germs and bacteria. The robot's head is made from a rice cooker. It is operated by remote control, a device that is used to control equipment from a distance by using electronic signals. The robot is one of several in the village of Tembak Gede, which has become known for its creative use of technology. This Delta robot is very simple, said Asayanto. He added that only used materials from the neighborhood were included in the robot. For the base, we used a used toy car chassis, said another team member, Benazir Imam Arif Mutakin. After moving down the street to the home of a self-isolating villager, the robot's speaker sends out the message, "Peace be with you," followed by, "A delivery is here. Get well soon." A delivery is something that is taken to a person or place. The village lies within Surabaya, capital of East Java, and Indonesia's second biggest city. A powerful second wave of coronavirus infections has appeared there over the past month. Indonesia has become the center of Asia's COVID-19 outbreak. The country has recorded more than 3.68 million infections and more than 108,000 deaths from the virus. I'm John Russell.
And that's our program for today. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Anna Mateo.